don't see why you have to cut it in the kitchen.
Keep your head still.
Give me one good reason.
I'll give you two. You could lose both ears.
Couldn't I lose them in the sitting room?
It's easier to sweep up in here. That's another good reason.
Ah, but I wouldn't try sweeping myself. I'd pick them up with tongs.
Besides, Mrs. Gurney's in there. You just hit the back leg of the piano.
When are you going to use the thing?
That's one of the front legs. Besides, I've got to wash the washing machine.
19:08 to 4.
Sorry?
Big Brother is washing you.
Oh, watch the washing machine, I mean.
I thought it was supposed to be automatic. Chuck the clothes in, come back in an hour, and they're all folded away in the linen cupboard. Isn't that what you pay £206 for, plus plumbing costs? What about the thing?
In a minute.
The little wonder home barber, as purchased through any good mail order advertisement.
That's the grandfather clock.
Or shop opportunities, as they call them. Quite frankly, talking of man to wife... Ow!
It's nothing.
It's all very well. It's not your eyebrow.
It's not even bleeding.
I start slowly, you know, and then ooze for 3 days. Quite frankly, I can't imagine a lady novelist of your intelligence sending away for anything calling itself a shop-opportunity, a little wonder home barber, but you might at least use it. If you were just going to use the kitchen scissors, you could have started cutting my hair 20 years ago.
You have to do the long bits with scissors. I explained that. Then we do the trimming and grooming. It's going to save us a bomb. It's not as if I'd sent away for a revolving musical cake stand.
They were advertising those?
Certainly. Played Happy Birthday to You. Complete with on-off switch, it said. So you needn't have it going all the time. It did seem extravagant in a house with only 2 birthdays. Don't jump like that!
That's sick. What's that?
It's only the radiator cooling. If you spent more time in the kitchen, you'd be used to the noises. In a minute, you'll hear that... There it goes. Central heating cutting in. It works on a statotherm.
Thermostat.
Well, whatever it is, it's the same as the refrigerator.
It can't be. It performs exactly the opposite function.
It would have been all right for George III.
What?
Well, he had 15 children, so that made 17 birthdays a year, counting him and the Queen. Call it one, every 3 weeks, and you're really getting your money's worth out of a revolving musical cake stand. I'm going to use the thing now.
Yes, well, don't slash about, or I shall be the only crime writer with a receding hairline at the back. What was that jangle in the sitting room?
Mrs. G hitting the skeleton clock. That's her last drop before she comes out in the hall. Then she'll be in here, so we'll have to get on.
You're slashing about.
22, 23, 24... 25, 26.
That puts us well into tomorrow.
She got it up to 48 last week.
Come again?
You'll have to speak up.
I can't. You'll have to... What people don't realise about writers is that they're up against life just like anybody else. With a few odd exceptions, of course. I don't say that Arnold Bennett ever tried to save himself 25 quid a year by getting Mrs. Bennett to give him a short back and sides in the kitchen. On the other hand, if he had tried it, or anyone else, I mean, Walter Scott, Euripides, all those Brontes, they could at least have had a quiet discussion about their financial situation without being swamped by domestic appliances. I bet if Mrs. Trollope ever fixed up her old man with a home haircut, all they heard was the Daily Woman's stays creaking. They could easily have talked over their problems and decided whether to write Barchester Towers or start selling the furniture.
And another thing about George III...
Coffee. Do you want it black?
...is that when he bought Buckingham Palace... Did you bring any milk out?
No.
Oh, black, please. Thank you.
What do you mean, another thing?
What other thing?
Buckingham Palace.
Just a minute, listen.
I can't hear anything.
The clock stopped striking.
Ah, that's what I can't hear.
21,000.
I lost count. I wouldn't have thought it struck more than a couple of hundred myself.
No, I mean, that's all it cost him. £21,000. Buckingham Palace. George III.
Yes.
Well, now, what did we pay for this house?
21,500.
Exactly. Just a couple of centuries, and we paid more for these 3 bedrooms and 2 receptions than George paid for Buckingham Palace.
Right. Yes.
Well, mind you, it wasn't Buckingham Palace then.
It isn't Buckingham Palace now.
No, it was only...
Not even since we had the stick-on downstairs bathroom stuck on.
It was just Buckingham House when the Duke of Buckingham escaped after the Battle of Worcester, September 3rd, 1651.
Now, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hang on. What's all this stuff suddenly?
Well, I'm sorry. I just happened to...
Look out.
I happened to be looking up geophysics in the encyclopedia. Wait a minute.
I saw a man on Brighton Front wave a stick at one of those last week. It didn't even stop.
Well, I was looking up geophysics, because my hero is going to be a geophysician in Vagabond Romance.
Shouldn't that be geophysicist? Doesn't he find it hard to get the girl with a way-out profession like that?
And then they're climbing about on Vesuvius when it erupts. Or, well, possibly Cotopaxi, I'm not sure. Anyway, he reveals himself in his true colours as a man who knows all about dodging molten lava.
I think that's good, darling. Good. Yes, I see. And that's how you got to thinking about George III?
In a way. He was in the next column to geophysics. My eye slipped. Anyway, we should have to get it mended first.
Mended?
The skeleton clock.
I thought Mr. Campbell mended it.
He did. It was £22.
But at least he told us that it was on record as a known clock and we ought to insure it for £500. So it ought to fetch £250. But there again, what's £250 in our situation?
Well, it's something. One of us could fly halfway to Bahrain in Concorde. It would mean being pushed out somewhere around the top end of the Red Sea and a long walk back. Isn't that what we got when we sold your drum kit? £250?
That was £2.50. We're talking about £250. What we should really be talking about is £250,000. Selling my drums, now I come to think of it, was a sad mistake. Not to mention the sentimental side. I had carted that kit all around my national service with me. There was hardly an officer's mess in the Air Force that hadn't echoed to my solo chorus of Hard-Hearted Hannah by the time I'd stepped back into my civilian trousers. Since then, apart from doing a few rows of offstage thunder for the East Plumpton Thespians, they'd just been up in the attic. As to the complexities of disposal, we had a slight disagreement over the precise method. I suppose this was because Diana didn't understand the sentimental element. She was like the chap Wordsworth wrote about, if it wasn't Tennyson. A primrose by a river's brim. A yellow primrose was to him, and it was nothing more.
What was nothing more? Say again.
Primroses.
What, up there? In the attic? Oh, get a move on. The dustmen are due at 11, you know. They won't take away awkward extras without 50p and a kind word. Hand down the big one first. Oh. What was that? The stepladder's cutting my knees off.
I think it's a stack of saucepans. I was thinking of Longfellow. A primrose by a river's brim, a yellow primrose...
Shelley, just drop it through the hatch.
All right, hang on. Here it comes. There. A drum kit dearly loved by me. A simple drum kit was to she...
Oh, shut up. Let's have the top cat.
High hat. Here we are, coming down. What happened?
I missed it. How much more?
I'm coming down. Take an ankle, would you?
Okay, I've got your ankle.
The other one. The
sorry.
Other one on the lower step.
Yes, sorry.
All right, thank you.
Right. What about the rest of it?
Hmm?
What about the what is it? The side drum?
I've been thinking, you know. You don't know what I feel about this kit. I'm damned if I'm letting the dustman have it. Well, how would you feel if we threw out your potter's wheel with the weekly junk? And all those half-finished, homemade hearth rugs you've got up there.
She gave in almost at once. Just a slight show of resistance when I said I'd be asking £15 for it in the local papers for sale and wanted, but she agreed to a fiver in the end, and she said that was the last we'd hear of it. How wrong they can get was my answer to that. The day the paper came out, we got drummers on the phone like the police after describing a wanted man with staring eyes. And we weren't even dressed yet. She was in the upstairs bathroom, not even dressed, and I was in the downstairs bathroom, not even dressed. Oh, well, she can do that one. I've done 8, she's only done 6, I think. She's got a phone up there, after all. It's not as if she's come down here to answer it.
Phone! Telephone!
I can't hear that. Not with the tap running. Is that twister from Guildford still trying to beat us down 2 quid? I hope she stands firm.
I'd rather. Yes? Who's that?
It's Mr. Sharp from Guildford.
You can't come in, Mr. Sharp.
He says, will you take three? And he doesn't want the wire brushes.
Tell him no.
You tell him. You've got a phone down here. It isn't as if you had to go up there.
You just say no, that's all.
He's got supplementary questions. He keeps asking me about skin tension and whether I've got screw-on legs.
Oh, all right. But the next one's yours.
Well, I've got to rush. My glass getting cold.
Mind the drums.
Oh, ow! Oh, blast of thing.
She made me put it out on the front porch after that. I told Mr. Sharp of Guildford where to put his insulting offer first, and I was just getting back into the tub when the phone rang. That one's hers, darling.
Let him go. Whose drums are they?
That one's yours, damn it!
Why don't you answer it? Whose damn drums are they, anyway?
Oh, well. I suppose she's got a point there. Glenn Miller? I mean, Sid Lawrence? What? Yeah, but don't worry about it. Yes, I did indeed advertise. You would? Good. You'd like to offer... You don't want the birdsong effect. I see. Could I what? Certainly not.
Who was that?
I thought you were incommunicado.
Oh, well, I got out. I suddenly thought it might be Sally.
It could have been.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
I didn't ask her Christian name. Lady called Mrs. Drury. Wanted to set her little boy up as a drummer. Hates birds. Offered £2 and could I deliver to Horsham?
Oh, what else have you had down there?
A lot of uncivilized, haggling people wanting me to split the set up.
I know. One of mine just wanted to buy the sticks.
Two men asking to hear the side drum over the phone, and the scouts saying they'd like the whole lot for jumble.
Why not?
What?
Nothing. I'm going to have my bath. Have you any clothes on?
Not a stitch. Why?
Oh, good. Because it's raining. You can fetch them in without getting wet. You know how the front porch gets flooded.
A man from Uckfield came and bought them eventually. Gave me such a grilling over the phone, I felt like a Watergate witness. However, he agreed to the asking price of a fiver. It was only when he came to collect that he dropped it to £2.50. Said the bass drum feet were warped, found some rust on the underside of the cymbal, and pointed out some knotholes in the Chinese temple blocks. Well, I was past arguing by then. I'd have paid him to take them away. In fact, that was more or less what it came to. Once we'd reckoned things out, not to mention a week's lost writing time for two persons. You think I'm exaggerating? Not at all. What you have to remember about selling drums is that only the people who bought them know they've been sold. The rest of the world keeps phoning. So for the next 6 days, every time crime writer Potter got a suspect into his typewriter, or romantic novelist Magnolia Badminton started describing a geophysicist's finely chiselled nostrils, off went the telephone. On the 7th day, of course, we'd got another ad in the paper telling all drummers they'd had it, which was another 35p, of course. So you don't need a readout on your pocket calculator to see that...
I don't know about 250,000. It would get whittled down. Even so, we're setting our sights a bit high.
Who do you suppose old George Giebel is entertaining on his back patio this morning?
Oh, it's all right. They're just going.
How do you know?
Well, they always go just before two. There you are. Back to Ambridge. Then he has a bit of a cough and he goes in. Besides, it's not as if we're broke.
We're broker than people think.
What people?
Well, readers, for one thing. They think anyone who sells 3,000 copies goes straight off and buys a dodecanee.
I'm not with you.
Greek Island. You know, one of the dodecanees.
Ah, well, we might do that. I got a cheque for the Greek translation rights of Random Stranger this morning.
How much?
Plenty. 1,500 drachmas.
I say, let's see. What's the going rate in Athens just now? Let's have a look. That's 15. Knock off 2 knots. Divide by... By Joe, that's terrific. Over 40 quid.
Terrific. Even after agents, commission and income tax, I'll still clear about 20.
Terrific. Anything else in the purse?
Nothing. Well, you know, garage bill, £33.60.
So that's how we decided to sell the horse. We'd always thought it might be worth a bit, but we hadn't realised until Dr. Giddy came in for drinks one night. They live on the other side of us from George Giebel and the Archers, that it was at least 170 years old. It's a rotten name for a doctor, we always think, Giddy. You'd expect him to fall over while he was taking aim with this thermometer. But apparently he knew a lot about pictures, and when he was leaving, he noticed the horse in the hall, and he said, "Hello, hello, George Stubbs." And we said we didn't know its name, always called it Uncle Frank's horse, because he'd left it to Diana when he moved to Pastors New. "No, no, no," said the doctor, passing his thumb over the pigment. "George Stubbs, the horse painter, 1724 to 1806. Looks very much like his to me. Didn't always sign them, you know. I certainly get it valued." He said there was a bit of a boom in Stubbs's just now, and he thought we might be extremely lucky. Well, of course, we pretended not to be excited. Behaved absolutely normally. Asked how Mrs. Giddy was, and he said she was ill in bed. And we said, "What with?" And he said it was anybody's guess. You know what doctors are like. It's all their families can do to get a crepe bandage out of them. Then I handed him one of my hats, he handed it back, and that was it. Well, Diana did call after him to ask if it was safe to eat the mushrooms that grew on either side of our party hedge, and he said, yes, indeed, perfectly safe as far as he knew. Then we shut the door and looked at Uncle Frank's horse. Then at each other. Then back at the horse again. And do you know what we said? We said, wow. And then I remembered something. By one of those coincidences that can only happen in real life, because you could never get away with it in fiction, I'd no sooner looked up the drachma rate in the garden that afternoon when I'd turned to another page and seen a headline that meant nothing at all at the time, only now. It said, Stubbs fetches record price. Well, I'd naturally assumed that it was just a footballer, until I rushed for the paper and looked again and saw that the price would be an insult to a footballer. 86,000, that was all. But if you don't happen to have a footballer to sell, you do the best with what you've got. Let's sell it, I said to Diana. She hadn't seen the article by our saleroom correspondent then, but she was very practicable about the proposition. I'd hardly proposed it before she said, what should we use to cover the square of unfaded wallpaper the horse would leave behind? According to this, I said, showing her the paper, about £86,000. You'd only need about 50 and some strong glue to cover up a bit of wallpaper that size.
Didn't you once put him into a book?
Uncle Frank? He'd never have left you the horse.
Next on the left, Bond Street. Here, turn here.
You mean where it says no entry?
Oh, you'll have to go on and up then, and down and round and come in from Oxford Street.
Mm.
Well, no, I mean Dr. Gideon into a book.
Mm. Buses and taxis only, Oxford Street. No. Yes, I did, sort of. I had a struck-off police surgeon and the blood-stained grocer, but it was really only based on the time you asked him about your elbow. And he said it might take 6 months to get right and it was okay by dinner time. What is the matter with those eager beavers?
I think they're wondering why you're stopping so long at this green light.
Oh, yes. I gave him a bloodshot nose.
What did you wrap it in?
You first.
Nothing. I was just asking what you wrapped it in.
I didn't wrap it in anything.
You left it naked?
I just slopped a lot of witch hazel on it.
The picture, not the elbow.
Corrugated cardboard, the spare eiderdown, 2 blankets and a dust sheet, and all tied up with the extension flex of the TV aerial and wedged into the back between a stack of scatter cushions.
Ah, good enough for any horse. You were going to say, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, what did he say? Turn right here.
At the no right turn? Certainly. He only said, was I colourblind? Not very inventive.
Not him, I heard him.
Oh, you mean what did he say? I don't suppose he read it.
Read it?
The bloodstained grocer.
Do you know what I've often thought?
It's a wide field, darling.
I've often thought that it passes my comprehension.
You have to start with Dear Sir.
Why?
Well, I take it you're writing a letter to the editor. You have to start Dear Sir and then go on with It Passes My Comprehension. Either that or Dear Sir, It Never Ceases to Amaze Me.
It never ceases to amaze me the way they yak on about Harold Pinter's dialogue. We're in 5 minutes with the Gerald C. Potters and anyone could do it. I wasn't talking about your widespread non-readership by doctors who can't tell a bruised elbow from bronchitis. I mean, what did he say about the picture the man you phoned at the auctioneer and valuers?
Well, he said that it sounded extremely interesting. He'd love to see it. Did I know there was a bit of a boom in Stubbs's just now, and would we ask for him by name, Rupert Tickle?
Good. Except that I don't think I could ask for a Mr. Tickle.
I could, for 86,000. Perhaps not for 80, for 86, though, yes.
This is Radio 4 at 7 o'clock. News desk. Ryan Clubgood reporting. Earlier this evening, the Cabinet reached a decision which will affect all our lives. The Prime Minister taking the unusual step of calling a press conference.
What do you think the worst moment was?
I can't hear. Come out to the garden.
I can't hear what?
What are you doing in there?
Putting the salt in the water softener.
Well, come out. I want the mushrooms.
All right, in a minute. I've just got to close the valves.
I can't hear.
Closing the valves. Thank God for that.
What? Give me the mushrooms.
Switching off that mixer. It's like sitting in with the Bay City Rollers being in these scientific kitchens.
This cabbage smells awful. Switch on the air extractor.
Now what?
It's the water softener. It always does it.
I didn't know that.
Well, you never stay to listen.
It's a joke in very bad taste. Today of all days. You recognise the tune it's trying to play. You ought to be in pictures. But he can't manage the last bit. Here you are, mushrooms.
Good. Go out and throw them in the dustbin. Any doctor who thinks Uncle Frank's horses are George Stubbs...
By Jove, how right you are. How right you... He's trying to poison us with toadstools.
No. I think the worst moment was Rupert Tickle.
Here. Cheers.
Cheers.
You mean when he laughed and offered us a fiver for the frame?
No, when he chased after us down Bond Street with the eiderdown.
Oh, yes, that was nasty.
Well, get the cat off the mantelpiece before she starts the clock striking. Throw something. Oh, too late. There was another moment.
When was that?
We shall never know. It was whenever Dr. Giddy read The Bloodstained Grocer, because I've just remembered... They borrowed it when he was in bed that time and she came round begging for aspirins.
Well, that explains quite a bit. And I'll tell you something else. If we ever get back to our literary typewriters, you and me...
We'll be a damn sight more careful how recognisable we make our friends.
Absolutely. Who'd ever believe they could nourish such frightfully vengeful feelings?